Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Louis Oliveira and Jeffrey Cole. And Louis, you're a producer of wines in Madeira, and Jeffrey, you're an importer into the UK, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Correct, yes.
Perfect. What we're going to start off with is just get an overview of Madeira and understand what Madeira wines are. But first of all, where is Madeira?
Well, Madeira is a Portuguese island composed by island of Madeira, that is the biggest, the most important one, and a small island called Porto Santo, located in the African coast, about 500 miles from Lisbon. Mm-hmm. And in Atlantic Ocean, 780 square meters, with a population of nearly 270,000 inhabitants, mm-hmm. that produce a wine that is called Madeira wine, a wine that has the name of the island, since more than 200 years.
Madeira is a fortified wine, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. It's a fortified wine.
Do you make any still wines on the island, or is it only...
We do in small quantities.
And is that for just local consumption, or...?
Yes. We start to bottle table wines about 12, 15 years ago. Before that, we didn't have bottled table wine. Nowadays, we have.
Okay. And Jeffrey, you're an importer, so do you... Is there any demand for still wines from Madeira, or is it all the fortified stuff?
Madeira is not recognized as a wine producer at all in the UK, so there is no importation of table wine from the island, just the fortified wines.
Okay, and let's find out a bit about them, because Madeira, I understand, was a wine that was produced, and then by mistake, it got cooked one day on a voyage. Do you know the story behind that?
What we heard about Madeira is what is known about Madeira is the process of Vinho da Roda. That's, I think it said at a subject, is not properly the cooking wine. It's a wine that was matured in those old vessels that went to West Indies. And then, for any reason, the wine could not be left there and come back to Madeira in a very long voyage. When I say very long, maybe several months. And then the wine, when arrived at Madeira, after being all those months in the warm of the tropics, arrived much better than it when it left. Yeah. And then it's the wine from the Roda, wine from the Roda.
Roda?
It's a wine that went down for the West Indies this was about 150 200 years ago, a long time ago.
It changes, doesn't it, on these long journeys? Wow, how would you describe it? Madeira is it's a fortified wine, but it's got a certain nuttiness to it and all sorts of stuff.
Well, I think that you could answer that much better than I do.
It imparts peculiar characteristics to Madeira, which is nowadays done either by artificial means, known as estufagem, I think,
estufagem,
which is
estufagem.
Lewis would tell you the details of that, or the finer wines are simply kept in casks, a system called canteira, where the casks are kept very warm and kept there for a long time and improve year by year. It's the only wine in the world that doesn't at some point go into decline. It just goes on and on improving.
We tried 1912 bottle earlier, which is was quite caramelized almost, which is quite strange. I thought it was a bit interesting. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular person who discovered the going the round trip through the West Indies, or was it something that people did all the time and they liked the wines? Or
no, it was they found out that situation in the beginning. I guess that it was in the 19th century, and it was wine that was exported to that country. Mm-hmm. But then when the wine came back after so many months in the warm and then inside the vats, and in the vessels, they compare with the wine from the same harvest, from the same, exactly the same product that was left in the island, and of course that it was much better, much better. But nowadays, certainly that we cannot do that. We cannot use that process anymore.
So was wine deliberately put on boats to be shipped to the West Indies and back?
Yes, yes.
So just do the round trip, you know?
A long trip, yes. And now we do the process of estufa, that is called the estufa. What means that the wine is heated day and night in big vats with a system to hot the wine for about nearly 40 degrees during approximately 3 months, can be a little less, a little more, depending how was the evolution from that wine. And we use that for this blend wines, for the other wines, for the special harvest, special grape varieties. We use the system of canteiro, which is a natural process in vats, in warm temperature, inside the, in warm, let me say,
attics.
Near the roof,
yeah, in the attic,
in a little higher temperature than we have in a ground floor or in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the evolution is much more slowly. Let me say that if we have a wine that is 2 years in the system of estufa, it's equivalent for 6 years of canteiro.
Okay.
And canteiro is a slowly process of improving, of aging.
Is one method better than the other, or can you taste the difference between the two methods?
Yes, certainly. The canteiro system, it's a more natural process, and the wine has an evolution in a different process than estufa. Estufa is to make it more quick,
yep.
And then it has to be done in that, of course, that is a legal process, but it has to be done in a quicker way.
Sure, sure. And how would you notice, can you taste two wines blind? No one tells you, and you know that one is estufa.
Yes, I believe that if somebody is an expert in Madeira wines, in fortified wine, we'll notice the difference, certainly, yes.
Oh, okay. And why do people do that? Is it price, or what's the reason for that?
No, because, you see, for these blend wines, it is much more for wines that are sold when they are 3 years or 5 years. It's more interesting, and it's to be done in this quicker process than to leave it. How can we sell a wine 3 year old, if it needs already in this system of container, it needs 6 years. It doesn't make sense.
Yep.
It has to be in a quicker process.
Okay, I've tried wines, Vansanto from Italy, or Jura do a similar sort of process.
Jura.
And in Italy, I've tried it as well, where they leave the wines and they get quite hot in these very thin, long oak barrels. Are the barrels you use, are they thin and long, or are they normal barriques, or what sort of barrels do you guys
what
use?
What you use for you mean for making the estufa for?
No, the estufa is in the stainless steel, isn't it? That's heated.
They can be in steel or can be also in wood.
Oh, okay, can it?
With a serpentine inside. But, you know, for aging, normally is a shape of a normal cask.
Yeah, yes. Normal barrique.
It can be small or can be a little bigger, but a normal shape of a cask.
Oh, okay. Madeira has an appellation control.
Well, Madeira has an appellation from fortified Portuguese fortified wine, yes, certainly.
And is it a DO or a...
No, it was VLQPRD, that was Vinho Licoroso Produzido em Região de Marcada. Vinho Licoroso Produzido em Região de Marcada. Well, let me say that I don't know if it says these words say a lot in English, but it was the classification from Madeira, wine.
Okay. And what sort of grape varieties do you use in Madeira?
The most important grape varieties are the Sercial, that makes a dry Madeira, and then also a Verdelho. It's a well-known grape variety that makes medium dry. In medium dry, we also have in less production, we have Tirantes.
Yep,
and Bastardo.
Yep. Torrontés is like the grape variety used in Argentina a lot.
In Argentina.
Yeah.
And Bastardo, a very, very rare grape variety. And then we have the Boal that makes a medium sweet Madeira, Boal. And then Malmsey that makes the sweetest, mm-hmm. the sweetest Madeira.
And
these are the main grapes, these six.
And is it because those grape varieties have higher sugar content, or what's the reason that you use different grape varieties for different sweetnesses?
Well, they are proper to make that style of wine. We can not make a sweet Madeira with the Sercial grapes. That doesn't work, you know. To make a sweet sweet Madeira has to be a Malmsey.
Why is that, though? Is it the sugar?
Because it is sugar contents of those grapes. The Sercial, we only can make a dry, certainly.
Doesn't get high enough.
Yes, and then we have a grape variety that is also well known, that is the Tinta Negra Mole.
Okay.
It is the people, they don't speak so much about this grape, but it's the one that we have in larger production, Tinta Negra Mole.
Oh, so if I'm buying a cheap Madeira wine, it'll probably be...
Yes, normally it's produced with Tinta Negra Mole. And then it's made in a Stufa system. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And what sort of prices would I expect to see for, in the UK, I'll ask Jeffrey this, for a Tinta Negra and a Stufa method?
The minimum cask aging for Madeira is 3 years, and three-year-old wine, depending on the producer, but with Oliveira, we're talking top of the range here, so that would retail at about £16.50, £17 a bottle for a three-year-old. And a five-year-old, say, 1850.
And that's made the Stufa method?
Yeah, well, yes, these Stufa wines. 10-year-old, about £24-25 a bottle. And the 15-year-old, is that Stufa or is that Cantera, the 15-year-old?
No, it's Stufa.
15-year-old, so that'll be about £36 a bottle. So they're still expensive, the Stufa. Then you get on to the Calheita wines, which are Cantera, then they would start off at about £40-45 a bottle upwards.
Certainly not cheap wines, are they?
No.
Madeira's not a wine I see in the UK very a lot, but how much is produced each year?
Each year is produced about near 4 million litres, between 4 million and 5 million litres.
Oh, that's quite a bit of wine, isn't it?
Well, some years are a little less. It's 3.8 or 3.9, but this year, for instance, is expected to overtake the figures of 4 million litres.
How much is drunk locally in Madeira and Portugal, and how much is exported?
Well, in Madeira is exported more or less 2.5 and 3 million litres per year.
Okay, so it's about three quarters of production exports,
yes,
and
then
you guys collect the rest.
The other part of the litre that are not exported, they are sold there, or is wine that is going to be kept for aging in vats for future.
Yep. And Jeffrey, Lewis said that they export about three quarters of the Madeira wines. How much lands up in the UK?
Of that total export, I am not at all certain. We are, I think, are we the second largest importer?
Quantity in litres, the first country is France.
But that would mostly be a wine which is adulterated, which can't be bottled. It's got to be used for cooking.
The States and England are the next two countries that is exported bottled wine.
So how does that work? Sorry, so some of it's exported to France, but it's not proper Madeira.
Well, the Madeira wine is possible to be exported in containers.
Yep.
That is only for cooking. And then it's bottled under the control that the wine cannot be used for other purpose.
I bet some people drink it.
No, because they cannot drink, because the wine has an additive that is only for the...
Salt.
I think so, yes. It's an additive.
So what do they add?
Pepper and salt.
It's not good for drinking, that wine.
So, first of all, it's France with undrinkable Madeira. Sounds about right. And then you've got the US next, and then the UK is next. Why is the US so big into Madeira, do you know?
Well, yes, you've got to look at your history for this, because when Madeira was first colonized in the 15th century, if you look at the geographical location of Madeira, it's soon after that the New World was discovered, you know, the West Indies, the Americas, and ships leaving Europe from all countries, England, Portugal, Holland, wherever there were explorers going off, they would head down across the Bay of Biscay and they'd call into Madeira. They take on fresh water, they take on fresh vegetables, and they take on wine. And so the wine went across the Atlantic. And the Americans have, you know, developed a huge tradition of Madeira drinking. And it's said on the east coast of America, there's more vintage Madeiras than there are on the island of Madeira still.
Really?
Old ones, yes. We're talking 16th, 17th century wines now.
Really? Gosh. Yes. And they're in bottles. So would they be holding up? You said that Madeira is a wine that always improves or doesn't fall to bits.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'd be drinking or putting them in a bottle? Does that change the process?
Well, a lot of that would have been exported in casks, of course, in those days.
Yep.
And so it may still be in casks in America or in glass carboys and bottled as required.
So you import wine into the UK, though, Geoffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I don't see Madeira in the supermarket shelves. You don't sort of see, well, I don't anyway. Maybe I haven't looked hard enough, but is Madeira available at Tesco's and Sainsbury's?
Well, yes. I think most of these supermarkets import Madeira wine, probably only one variety. Usually the sweeter one, which is traditionally what we have consumed in this country. You know, if Granny had a bottle of Madeira in the cupboard, it would have been Malmsey or Malvasia. I can't speak about the supermarkets because we're in the top end of the business, and so we sell to high-class retailers, and they're usually one or two or three shops. Organizations, you're not the big chains.
Yep.
So you'll find quite a number now, though, of online retailers who are selling, buying from us and selling it online. So it's out there, but you've got to hunt for it, that's for sure.
Sure, sure. And who's the classic customer of Madeira? I always think of sort of old gentlemen in clubs sitting around in leather chairs getting slowly pickled.
Saying, have some Madeira, Madeira. Yeah.
Exactly. It rhymes quite well, doesn't it, Madeira, Madeira?
Flanders and Swan, you know. The big push has been, since we've been importing from Lewis, which we started with in 1987, I think, and the big push has been to educate younger people to try this drink. And whenever we get to open a new account with a retailer, what we try and do is spend a day in the shop with open bottles saying, to the customers as they come in, come and try this. Because I would say still probably 80% of the population have never tried this drink.
Yeah, I've only tried it once.
And the assumption is, the reaction you get is, A, I've never tried it, or B, oh no, thank you, I don't like sweet wines. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, Madeira's produced right across the range.
Yeah.
From the very dry.
Actually, of the wines we tried earlier, the dry wine was my favorite.
Yes.
Which, I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, but it had a really nice sort of nuttiness to it. And some of the older ones were starting to become quite caramelized.
They make a wonderful aperitif. They really do. They're fabulous wines for that, yeah.
Sure.
And, of course, the other thing we're trying to do is food matching.
Yep.
The Sersiol, the driest, is difficult to match with food. I always say almonds, maybe olives, and that sort of thing, purely as an aperitif. But when you get into the Verdejo, that is a very flexible wine. I mean, it's lovely with soup, consommé and Verdejo, blue cheese and Verdejo. Mm-hmm. Terrific together. And then the sweeter ones, of course, with fruity puddings and that sort of thing. And the Malvasia or Malmsey and dark chocolate, that is a marriage made in heaven, believe me.
Do you leave the wines lying on the, actually dark chocolate I imagine is quite good, but do you leave the wines lying on the dead yeast? Like when the wines, do you do barrel fermentation with Madeira? So do you ferment in barrels and then leave the wine in the barrel afterwards? So there's lots of dead yeast in the barrel?
After fermentation, then we have the process of joining the alcohol.
And it's all
alcohol.
Wait, do you ferment in stainless steel or do you ferment in barrels?
Mostly in stainless steel.
And then you rack the wine off?
Yes.
So there's not a lot of sort of lees or dead yeast in there?
No.
Okay.
That's one of the great advantages of when you buy an old Madeira, a vintage Madeira, because it's matured in the cask and bottled to order. I mean, when we place an order with Lewis, he bottles it, so it's all freshly bottled. Now, if you buy a bottle of, say, 1977 vintage port, a third of that bottle is going to be full of undrinkable sludge.
Yeah.
You buy a bottle of 77 Madeira, then it's 100% wine all the way through with virtually no sediment at all.
Who's your biggest competition? Is it port? Because that's another fortified sweet wine, isn't it? So
it is, yes. Port drinkers tend to be port drinkers, and then they're very difficult to shift. But yes, I mean, we do compete with port, I think, on the sweeter side, and probably with sherry on the drier wines. Yeah.
If I'm after a good range of Madeira wines in the UK, can you recommend a couple of retailers or online retailers or something that people can go to?
Yes, I can give you a whole list. Lewis produces
a massive list of suppliers. Just one or two that have got a good range. And
okay, right. Well, Fortnum & Mason is our, if you like, the one we like to boast about.
Yeah, fair enough.
They only keep four of the wines and all old vintages.
Yep.
Okay, so if you want top quality ones, you'll find them there. If we're talking London, the winery in Clifton Road, W9, keep a good range. And Hanford Wines in Old Brompton Road. That's the London ones. But we're out in the country as well. There's Duncan Murray Wines in Market Harborough. Keep a very good range. There's Wadebridge Wines in Cornwall, keep pretty well the whole range. Gauntleys of Nottingham, that's a very good retailer. They're all retail shops. Online, there's Just Fine Wines, which is an online company. Or one I should have mentioned, keep a good range too, is Cambridge Wine Merchants. They're
in Cambridge?
In Cambridge, yes, would you believe?
I can imagine it goes down with some of the old professors, actually.
Oh, yes, some of the dons, yeah, that's right.
Excellent. All right, then, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.